Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one show to bring you all things Club America in English, from tactical analysis to player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. I'm your host, Ivan, and we have quite a show tonight. We're going to be talking Club America's victory over Cruz Azul in the Clásico Joven, and then, of course, we're going to be looking ahead into when this weekend's match up against Atlas as we do travel on the road away to Guadalajara. And joining me tonight to discuss this and much, much more, it is none other than New York's favorite resident, Christian Rosendo. Christian, my friend, how are you?
Doing well, Ivan. Doing well. Hope you're doing well. Hope everyone watching is doing well. Pretty pumped. We're back to winning ways in the league. And I think we needed it, right? It was a big win, a derby. Just to kind of just show people that, you know, we're still the same America, right? And I think for most of the game we showed that. Obviously, I think there's stuff that we didn't like. But I'm sure we'll get to it. But overall, just content with the 3 points.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I think that we showcased some very good, promising things. But like you mentioned, that there's still a long road ahead, and so it's a good place start, and then we kind of just build off from there. But excited to see how things progress from this point on, because I think this could be a catalyst for America going forward. Let's just dive into this, and let's talk America versus Cruz Azul here. In regards to what we saw in the first, I want to say 45 minutes up to about 65 minutes, I think we were the better team, even though the stats didn't showcase that, Christian. I think America planted themselves very well, and I think it's kind of kudos to Jardinev for kind of planting his team right and understanding exactly what America needed to do in order to kind of attack Cruz Azul and put them under pressure and put America in promising positions. And you saw from the get-go, like, America attacked, went straight for it, and kind of didn't give Cruz Azul any breathing room from the get-go.
Right, and I think that's something that we needed to see from this team. We knew they had it in them, right? And I think we were talking about it amongst ourselves in our chat that I think we kind of give a lot of credit to Henry Martin and Diego Valdez, right? I think inserting both of them in the starting 11 really just gave us a whole different offensive look, and it brought out the best in other people around them. Quiñones and Sendejas, for example, right? Two players I think have been lacking in like the past maybe five to six games. Completely different in the first 45 minutes. And you just saw that we just looked something. We looked like the team we were last year. And you know, it was good to see Sendejas taking on players like he usually does, like we're normally used to him seeing, and just trying to make plays out there. Right. So like you said, though, it was only the 45 minutes though, because I think beginning of the second half, and kind of until when the subs were made, it seems like we were losing our flair a little bit. It seems like we kind of just stopped doing what we did in the first 45, whether it be because we were tired or because it was a tactical movement. I'm not too sure. I really like to get people's opinions on what happened in the second half, because like, you know, we usually say all the time, it was a tale of two halves, right? And I don't think that we were very content in the second half, because we could have actually gone out and probably scored a couple more goals in the second half. We kept playing like we were in the first half, right? But I think overall we can take from this game is that having both Henry and Diego in the starting 11, we're a whole new team offensively. And I think it brings out the best in Quiñones. It brings out the best in Sendejas. And we just need that going forward, especially in the upcoming three Clásicos that we have. We're gonna need all of our offensive arsenal, right? And I think this is a good start.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. I think that you mentioned, right, when Henry plays alongside with Diego Valdez at the bottom, it just kind of showcases that, you know, this is a very good offensive team on the night when both of them are kind of firing at all cylinders, right? Let's not forget that Diego Valdez has had a dip in form. coming up to this game, not just because he hasn't been 100% fully match fit, but I think ever since like that second leg against San Luis, just absolutely wasn't the Diego Valdez that we needed him to see. But in this game, he absolutely was. He made things happen for America, and you, like you mentioned, other players played off of him, and you saw kind of a burden be lifted on the guy we're watching right now on the screen with Julian Quiñones. It wasn't necessarily now his responsibility to kind of carry the team. He was given more of a freedom role, which if Chris was here, he would say that that's where Quiñones shines his best, is whenever he's able to play out on the wing. But you just saw that. You saw that. And it was good, kind of an indication that this America team is capable of showcasing and doing what we saw last season. And sure, I mean, it took up to now and to this point and took this Clásico Joven, but it's good to see that America can come out, showcase, and plant themselves correctly.
In that clip before we just saw, I don't know if anyone caught that, but I felt like that was just vintage America for like the past year. Trying to get the ball from Diego to Henry, Henry holding up the play, and then him distributing either to Quiñones or Senderas. In this case, it was to Quiñones a lot throughout the whole game, hence the four offside goals that we saw in the first 45 minutes. But when that team just gets going like that, it's very hard to stop us, right? And it just seems like we can attack it from all fronts, and you know that's what makes it dangerous. So I'm very happy. I think all of us were very happy with the first 45. And like I said, though, I really wish we really continued it in the second half, because I think we could have scored at least one more goal in that second half to kind of put the game at rest a little bit, I bet. Because even though with the 1-0, we could just kind of saw Cruz Azul kind of just hound us the whole second half, right? Which I wasn't really a fan of. Whether they had a dangerous chances or not, that's for, you know, personal opinion. But personally, them being on top of us for, I guess you want to say 65%, 70% of the whole second half, it just wasn't a good feeling. It wasn't what I was used to seeing of this team. It just seems like we have the players to not be in that situation, to control the game a little bit better, to maybe go forward a little bit more. Even after Quiñones and Sendejas came off, we have capable players on the bench that, you know, can contribute offensively. So questionable. You know, I think people are maybe 50-50 on this, but I would have liked to seen a more offensive America instead of a defensive one, like what Jardine had planted.
Absolutely, I agree. And I want to piggyback off of what you just mentioned, but let's bring in our next co-host here, who is joining us right now. And let me just move myself out of here and bring in the one and the only Dylan Jimenez. Dylan, how are you, my friend?
Doing good. Sorry for running a little late, but I'm glad to finally hop on now.
Absolutely. Kind of your take on this game and the first half that America had. I think it was, like we mentioned, a very well-planted way of organizing themselves against a very good Cruz Azul side, right? Jardine understood that if you press them early and you kind of don't give them much room, you kind of throw them off a little bit off balance. And when you do kind of give up possession, then you play a defensive line, not necessarily park the bus, but you kind of keep yourself organized tightly in your spaces, and you don't really give up anything by staying fixed in your zone. Just your 2 cents on America's first half.
Yeah, I think the first half, you know, and especially going back and watching it again, it was very enjoyable. I think I've said this in the past too, you know, especially whenever we were going through these rotations and you know, about this, trying to find a little bit more of his form. I just think, regardless, I think this is what the side was missing, was that Diego Valdez and you know, obviously you're Henry, and then obviously going off of what Chris said too, Quiñones playing on that wing, you know, where he shines his best. A lot of this was missing, and I think really, and if I'm not mistaken, I think if I remember the lineup correctly off the top of my head, I think this was arguably putting Kevin Alvarez. I think this is obviously the best starting 11 that we've got at this moment. So I think kind of seeing what we can see in the future of this team at its best capacity, whatever we got out of these first 45, well, maybe a little bit plus more. I'm kind of on the Ivan side, you know, maybe that first, you know, 60 minutes is what the best that we could see of this team. So yeah, it was just overall fun to watch. I think the frustrating part though was just those offside goals. Easily could have been way more than just 1-0 at the half, and obviously just the end score line too. But I think overall, I think if we can kind of build off this a little bit I know obviously there are going to be some rotations coming up too with a lot of games coming up, but I think if we can find some way to build off this, then, you know, I think we're going to be solid.
No, yeah, I agree. We can definitely 100% be solid in that sense. And so we'll see exactly what America can do going forward in this. But Christian, you mentioned it, right? It wasn't ideal for America to kind of sit back and absorb so much of the pressure from Cruz Azul in the second half. But it was kind of an indication from Harine that he wanted to maybe close the game out, just because even though Cruz Azul was on top of us, I don't necessarily think that they were so much close to absolutely just kind of destroying us, like even getting a goal.
Yeah, no. It's just that I think we saw a little bit too early, though. I think that even when we had the initial 11 on, it kind of seemed like we didn't feel like the need to attack so desperately. Maybe on a few kind of like a clip we saw Diego kind of throwing the ball to Quiñones, which he really should have slotted that away. I don't know why he tried to dribble the whole world after he had a clear lane, but that's besides the point. Mm-hmm. It's stuff like that that we could have created more so in the second half, and it seemed like he kind of threw in the towel a little bit too early for me. I don't know if that was the game plan going into the game to kind of get a lead, and then, you know, whenever we establish that lead, you know, ice the game a little bit and then just kind of absorb pressure. I'm not too sure, but it's something that I didn't like to see. Like I said, I really think we could have probably walked away with the 2-0, 3-0 win if we kept continue playing the way we did in the first half.
Well, I mean, I think regardless, I mean, I think if that was a narrative still, I mean, are we still having this conversation a little bit too? If it stayed 4-0 in the first half or 3-0, whatever it was, obviously, I think, you know, you look at this and like kind of mentioned, you know, it's a classical, you know, I mean, I think you want to go out and obviously and thrash your opponent, you know, you want to thrash the Cruz Azul, you want to thrash the Pumas, the Chivas, you know, not saying just necessarily those teams, but you want to go out and be a havoc on the whole league. But I just, the way I just see it too, is just that I feel like in a sense, like we got to throw some type of blame to Harine because he knew what he was doing in the first half. You know, I feel like he had the mindset to go out there and do what he was saying, like Ivan said, that, you know, you got to press Cruz Azul early. And, you know, to me, you know, just with some of the subs and everything, it just seemed like it just all changed, but he was just fine with just the 1-0, which obviously isn't great, but, you know, it's just a little disappointing in that sense, because, you know, you had it working so well, you had the team gelling in a sense, but then you just kind of go ahead and just sit back and seem content with the 1-0.
I do agree that he did have a sense of content towards kind of like the 75th minute. He was like, okay, I think we should be fine. This is okay. This is a result that I'm okay with. But I think it was already later in the stage. I mean, it kind of isn't his fault that Quiñones couldn't find a way to stay onside for the goals that he scored or for the chances that he created, right? So it's like you mentioned, Dylan, if the game does end up going 4-5-0 by the end of the first half, we're having a much different conversation. We're probably actually thinking like, oh, Harine did the right thing. He subbed out all these players, did the right thing, rested some legs for the upcoming matches. I think just because the result wasn't as high as we wanted it to be in order to feel comfortable to kind of secure the game, now we're kind of picking at it and saying, yeah, this wasn't ideal. This shouldn't have happened. We should have kept on XYZ and finished the game off strong. But I think it's okay to kind of rough it and tough it out for a bit. And I'm not going to say like, oh, you know, let's do this every other weekend, but I was upset at the moment, but thinking back about it, I was like, okay, I'll be content, and that's it.
I mean, you know, kind of say that we're kind of like the kings of Clásicos, right? And it seems like Darine hasn't lost one yet. We continue that streak, so that's always a positive going forward. But at least I think that we're all on the side of that. At least we saw in the first 45. What this team is still capable of, and the fact that they're not playing that week in and week out is because certain players weren't at top form. So that kind of gives me, you know, more hope going into this rough patch of games that we have coming up. Because it's not just Chivas three times. Like we have to play Tigres too. We're gonna have to go play Santos as well. So these are all games that complicate us in recent history, right? So we're going to need everyone to be in tip-top form. And the fact that we know that we can rely on our top heavy hitters still to give us good performances, that's something that I'll take away from this game just to be on the more positive side.
Yeah, and for me too, I kind of look in this at the bigger picture. I mean, yeah, it sucks, you know, just for it to be 1-0, but just like Christian said, there's a big slate of games coming up. I think, you know, at the end of the day, are we gonna sit here and look back and say, oh, like, remember when we thrashed, or are we gonna sit here, you know, in 2 weeks, you know, when we're playing Chivas and be like, well, so-and-so looks gassed or this and that too. I mean it's kind of nitpicking to me a little bit, you know, for this, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I just kind of choose to look at the positives, and realize there's more at stake at it too, if we want to, you know, win two titles this season, you know, with the Conca champions in the league too.
You know what the interesting thing is too, that we need to take away from this, is that this is the first time America plays against a team like Cruz Azul, in where the game was actually taken to them and we didn't have to take the game to the rival. And in majority of the games that we've played, it's been these teams sit back, they hold, and they create this kind of clusterfest of players inside their own box. And so America finds it difficult to break and to run into spaces. You saw a very happy Quiñones because he was able to just run. Absolutely run, saw acres of spaces and was able. I think he got too happy and that's why he wasn't able to kind of stay onside. But I think that, you know, this is a lesson to be learned that, okay, if push comes to shove and we have to play a game like this, then we know that America can do so. But let's be honest, the way that America wants to play and the way that Jardiner wants to play is he wants to have the majority of the possession. And what I want to see is, are you capable of refining that game plan, right? You weren't able to do it against Cruz Azul because it was a different type of game. But can you do it with an Atlas? Can you go to the Jalisco? Can you hold on to that ball position? And can you break down their defense? That's going to be key and that's going to be vital. And we'll talk about that because I've seen some people on Twitter say, you know what, throw this game away. Rest all your players, play with like a CD team and have everyone ready for the midweek match against Chivas, right? And I'll get to your guys' opinion in just a moment. But yeah, it's important to kind of notate that as well. There are a lot of positives here, but how can we implement those positives into our actual game style? That is going to be important, and see if whether or not we learned a lesson or two, and we look better for it. So let's see what happens. Ricardo saying, last season, Ivan and Chris were complaining about Jardiner not being able to close out games. And now that he does, these guys are questioning his tactics. Now, wait, Ricardo, I was not 100% questioning all of his tactics. I'm just saying from minute 75 and on, I was very much hesitant to kind of give him the benefit of the doubt. But from what he did from minute zero to minute 65, I completely applaud him because he understood this very, very well. But all right, gentlemen, anything else you guys want to highlight in regards to this game against Cruz Azul?
Interesting enough, we didn't see Brian or De La Rosa play in this game.
Yeah, and I guess that was a luxury that America was able to give themselves. I really thought he was going to bring in Javido and he was going to bring in Brian, especially when Henry was coming off. Well, actually, Brian did feature.
I thought Brian was like the first sub in, honestly.
Yeah.
If you want to win this out, just plug in Brian and he'll wreak havoc on that left side.
Remember I told you that Brian Rodriguez is probably second to Cabecita only because Cabecita had a much better game against Mazatlan and Brian missed all those opportunities. So I think it's just one of those things where, all right, you're going to see the bench a little bit because you got to learn from your mistakes. Got to put the ball in the back of the net. But yeah, I guess like I mentioned, it's a luxury America gets to kind of keep, rest those players. And now you kind of look ahead and I'm wouldn't be surprised if any of those two players that we just mentioned start on Saturday.
I was hoping one of them to start. I think we should give Quiñones the rest that he probably needs. Yeah. I think that there's a lot of slates. There's a lot of key games coming up, right? And we're going to need him. I think this is one of those games where we can probably do without him. And it's like, I think I've been saying it in our chat for weeks now that Quiñones needs to rest. That could be contributing to maybe his mental problems, his issues of missing everything in front of net. Sometimes it takes just one game break, kind of just reset and, you know, look forward. This could be one of those games. Will it happen? I'm not too sure, but this is the first kind of week that we have without a midweek game. So I hope that the team takes advantage of it and really plans out how they want to go about this, because like I said, next Wednesday, we have Chivas.
And then the following Wednesday after that, we have Chivas again. And then the Saturday.
Right. But before we get Chivas to that game, we have Tigres on Saturday.
Yeah, it's a lot. Like I said, we're in the eye of the storm at the moment. We're about to enter it, actually. So, yeah, it's going to be crazy. But Midwestern Cholo saying, can we talk about how good the defense was this game? Dylan, that's something that we kind of don't really get to mention often here, especially in the time that we've been podcasting. It always seems that we are very strict sticklers on America's defense. But he was right. Chavo Reyes had quite himself a masterclass, and really the center back partnership that was Cáceres and Igor just, again, thriving.
No, yeah, I definitely think so too. And I honestly think Cáceres is maybe the better center back if I had to really pick one. Out of the two. But I mean, regardless, you know, I'm still going to get my credit to Igor there. But, you know, this was really solid. And Ivan, you know, something you always preach too is getting that clean sheet too. So definitely like a lot of love for this back line and everything that they did.
It was interesting. I was thinking to myself, because Chris had mentioned that Malagón is on the verge of breaking a record, right? For being the first goalkeeper to get to 20 clean sheets in like an X amount of games, right? And I was thinking to myself, wow, that not only is a merit to Malagón, but it's a merit to the defense as well. And is it crazy to say that this has probably been the best defense we've had in like the past 3-4 years?
Maybe.
I guess you could argue that.
Because, yeah. I mean, I'm thinking, and I'm like, the last defense that won us a championship was Bruno Valdez and Emma Aguilera. And those two didn't leave the best kind of taste in any Americanista's heart. So I just feel like, you know, and Cáceres is too, you know, he made some pretty silly mistakes that Igor and the other defenders had to kind of clean up after him. But still, it's funny to think that, yeah, Igor and Cáceres probably the two best defenders we've had in such a long time. And, you know, it's a crazy phrase, but I guess reality is what reality is at that point. So
yeah, no, definitely. And it's really, I guess it just speaks to, I guess, how committed and how disciplined our defense is, because we've had rotational right back the whole season, right? I don't think we've had one true stickler right back, whether it be Kevin Alvarez or Israel Reyes or you name it. It just seems like we're always rotating that position just because players just can't stay fit. They can't get informed. They can't get healthy. We started the season with Fuentes for like a game. Then we transitioned to Chicote, which he did good in his little stretch of games that he had. And then Chava Reyes has a good two games. So it just seems that like any defender that we have is ready to answer the call. And I think that's something we always have to note, that at any given moment, God forbid, any more injuries arise in this team, it seems like and everyone's ready to answer the call. And I think that's something good to have going down the stretch.
Yeah, I agree. And so we'll see what this defensive line continues to look like, as it looks like Kevin Alvarez still isn't at 100%. He's training today again with kind of his own specialty routine. And so we'll see whenever he's firing at full cylinders. But for the meantime, it looks like Israel Reyes is going to continue to be that right back, which I don't know how you guys feel about that. I'm 50-50. I just feel like he's not
40-60, maybe. I don't know.
It's obvious he's not a natural right back. Like, it's
obviously
just,
it's not, right? So that's why I don't want to give him so much slack, but it's like little things, these little positional errors, these the way coming out, his offensive game isn't there yet. Like I said, though, like you said, he's not a right back. He's not an actual right back. He's kind of the emergency player here, which if you want to take it all in the grand scheme of things, he's not doing that bad of a job. Then again, we really haven't played opponents that can kind of really test them in a way. And even when the opponents that we have played, he hasn't looked pretty good. So I can imagine what would happen when we do play against tougher opponents, right? So hopefully he can kind of learn as it goes. Just keep putting him there, obviously. I mean, we really don't have a choice until Kevin is 100%. And we'll go from there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I mean, that's pretty much it for me in regards to Cruz Azul and America. I don't know if you guys wanted to add anything else.
No, I think I'm good.
All right. Well, okay, gentlemen, 3 points, three important points, actually. We're only one off the league leaders, which continues to be Cruz Azul. Yes. So again, America kind of staying in that range of that top four spot, which we want to be in. Yes. And again, you can kind of give yourself a luxury and focus a little bit more on CONCACAF Champions Cup when you've secured points like this, when you don't have to track back. And that's why this the Mazatlán game was such a kind of bummer, because it was, imagine those 2 points, we would have been league leaders right now. So again, it's those little things that you kind of have to look into. And so we'll see whether or not it pays dividends at the end of the day, but hopefully it does. All right, gentlemen, let's move on from Cruz Azul and let's start getting ahead of ourselves and start thinking of Atlas on Saturday. But before so, any club updates that you have on your end, Christian?
Nothing. I think you mentioned that just got the injury update. That's pretty much all we have going on right now. That Kevin is still kind of just trying to get back into form. He probably won't be playing Saturday. Definitely won't be starting. Maybe bench, but that's even doubtful still. Same thing with Richard Sanchez. I think that's also a key player that we need to talk about too. That our midfield, I think someone said in the chat, our midfield needs a rest, right? I think Fidalgo and John Anderson have been putting in shift after shift after shift without, I guess, a real competent backup in a sense. I don't know if I'll get hate for saying that, but I just don't think Naveda is there right now to kind of fill in. And it seems like the only one that could have done that for either or was Richard Sanchez. So I think that we are missing him. I think that Fidalgo and Jonah are missing him because they're like, damn, that's my break right there. So hopefully he's another one that can kind of get back into shape, into form, well, rather quickly, because he also is going to be important in these next stretch of games that we have coming up.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see the numbers. How much is Jonathan and Fidalgo running? You know, like, I feel like they're all over the pitch and they're covering so much space. Like, yeah, it's a lot of wear and tear, especially on like Jonathan Santos. Look, I get it. He's only 33, and it's not to say that he's, like, you know, super old or anything, but I would imagine he would need a break here and there. And yeah, it's unfortunate that Richard isn't available, because he would be, like you mentioned, Christian, the natural substitution, the natural fit right back into that. But
right now
looks like that responsibility is going to have to fall on Naveda, and Naveda. We'll see if he's capable of
rising up,
making himself, rising up to the occasion. But yeah, so Nestor Araujo is still, I guess, either injured or sick or just 100% erased from the squad. I'm not too sure. There's not many reports in regards to that, just that he's not 100%, but I don't think any of us are kind of, you know, hoping that he gets back to fitness anytime soon, Dylan.
No, yeah. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things too, where, you know, especially in the midfield, you know, it's just with these rotations too that are so critical. But at the same time, you know, it's just hard to say, because a lot of these players, you know, are going through this, you know, but they probably have that sense of like mentality of like wanting to play. But at the same time, you know, the rest is obviously what's needed too, and how it's going to be in the long run for them.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. I guess a couple of news, because I did hear this on America Twitter. Henry still has yet to sign his contract extension with America. I don't think it's necessarily, you know, start ringing any alarms. I think they've gotten at a stalemate point of the negotiation. Of course, though, as the weeks go by and there is no pen to paper, fans get a little bit jittery. But Dylan, I don't know, where do you put this as in regards to it not happening?
What do you mean, like in
like not Henry not resigning? Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, I'm still not really worried about it. I remember this being a topic, not that long ago. Not really worried about it. I think Henry's heart is still with the club. I think right now, I think he's kind of more focused in this in season, especially since we're about halfway at this point in time, and then obviously with the Coca Champions going on. I'm still not worried about it. I'm pretty sure I said that last time too, that I wasn't worried about it. I think he just wanted to play his game right now and show his worth even more to this club. And I think his heart's still with the club.
I agree, but Ricardo says to be worried, so I don't know.
He's close to breaking records.
Yes, yeah, he's at 98 goals with America, right? So
he's close to breaking records.
He's close to getting up there in the charts, so I would assume that he wants to continue to be that goal scorer. I think
he'll be with us up until the World Cup. After the World Cup, that'll probably be a different story. But I don't see him leaving. I think that'll just jeopardize, I think, his position, is because who knows what happens at a new club, right? And plus, you're at America, right? You're at America. Everyone loves you here. You're doing your thing here. Like, it'd be silly to kind of move. So yeah, we'll see.
And I'm glad you brought that up.
What Christian said Vinicius would do.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm glad you brought up the whole World Cup and national team subject, because America sparked a lot of heated debate in the world of sports. Because so the Mexican national team roster, preliminary roster for the Nations League, came out, and America had themselves quite an astounding list of players. I unfortunately didn't make it, but I think Dylan did. I think Dylan 100% did make it. So it features obviously the likes of Malagón, Israel Reyes, Quiñones, Henry. With a couple surprises though, Jonah Dos Santos was on the preliminary list, as well as Ramon Juarez. And the one that sparked the biggest debate was Cristian Calderón. So he was part of the list as well. A lot of people arguing back and forth as to whether or not he deserved to be there. I think a lot of Chivas fans that were still bitter about everything were the ones kind of making the most noise on Twitter. But at the end of the day, it's just a preliminary roster. Like, I don't expect all of these guys to make it at the end of the day. No, you know?
I would think maybe three or four only, I think, make the actual roster.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, obviously, it's Henry and Malagón, which are your two kind of givens.
Those I think are for sure.
And then I think it's up in the air.
I think Jonathan and Kevin are like your maybes.
Yeah. And I mean, Quiñones, I think if he continues to score goals, then yeah, for sure.
I forgot about Quiñones. Yeah, I forgot about him. No,
I think that's also a given. Sure, yeah.
Yeah, he's a for sure one too. I'm sorry.
And well, whoever does make it will unfortunately miss the Clásico Joven at Dignity Health Sports Park for the Tour Águila, which I saw, by the way, Xander said that he was going to try to make it. So Xander, hopefully you do make it and stop by and say hi. We'll be there covering the game. But yeah, that's kind of all the news I have in regards to the world of Las Águilas del América. Dylan, do you have anything else?
No, I think I pretty much covered it.
All righty then. Well, let's jump into the following game for América this weekend, which is up against Atlas. Dylan, do you remember last season when we were covering this game? It got didn't get necessarily postponed, but it got moved to the Estadio Azteca, like 24 hours before kickoff, because of a Romeo Santos concert. So
yeah,
it's not going to be the case this time anymore. So it should be all settled up to be played at the Estadio Jalisco. So America does travel over to Guadalajara, which I think is fortunate enough that we do have a second game in Guadalajara on Wednesday. So I don't know the logistics, Christian, but would it be a smart move for America to kind of stay in Guadalajara for eventually the next couple of days, which I think Atlas even said, you guys are free to use our training facility?
Of course, yes. I think that would be the plan for America, just to fly into there and just kind of stay, remain there, and then just go about your training, your preparation for the midweek game. It should be an interesting one Saturday. I'm not too sure how Jardine wants to play this. I think that we'll soon find out as the week progresses. I don't know. Are you guys more in the side of maybe we should rotate, or should we just go with full force 11?
I'm glad you brought that up, because like I mentioned, someone posted on Twitter saying, if it was up to me, I would throw away the Atlas game and I would just play like a CD team and just have everybody rested for Chivas on Wednesday. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I do think that you can give yourself the luxury of making a couple of rotations, maybe some big rotations, you know, maybe 20-80, 20% starting 11, 80% bench. I don't know. What do you think, Dylan?
I think you find that sweet middle ground, because I think you still want to have some of these starters that are on a good form, but obviously you don't play them the whole game. You know, I feel like Jardinez got to find that sweet middle ground somewhere of like, okay, like, let me pick and choose, you know. Obviously for me, I think I would like to see Diego start, you know, give him a first half maybe, just so we can see what he's got. And then, you know, obviously when that middle game comes, you know, I think he's going to start and play a good chunk of time. Or, yeah, you know, I guess in kind of a sense, though, what I could see too is obviously you bench some of those players, but then you give them like a good 30 minutes, you know, in the second half, you know, when you sub them on, you give them some time, because I think it's still critical for some of these key starters to, you know, at least get some type of playing time in before. I don't think you just rest them the whole time.
I think it's one of those things, right, Christian? Is like, if you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. And so,
yeah. I think we also got to remember, Dylan brings up a good point, that Diego's only coming off injury right now, right? So I think giving him minutes before the big games is crucial, just to kind of get him more into game rhythm, get him into more game form. Same thing with Henry. I think that he could use kind of like just the refresher, the, you know, to kind of just coincide with everyone. So I do think that both of them would be starting in this game.
You said Henry, right?
Henry and Diego, yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up as well, because if we're talking about getting minutes because of injuries, and Henry definitely is up there as well. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, to Dylan's point, right? 45 minutes, I think, is a good placeholder for these two players, because I think we're capable of not necessarily putting the game to bed in the first 45 minutes, but you can give yourself a pretty good, you know, start, and then the bench players can hold off and hopefully, you know, hold on to the result. So it'll be interesting. I do think that one of the two midfielders has to be rested, right? Whether that's Fidalgo or Jonah, which I'm leaning more towards Jonah, because I think Fidalgo has a little bit more in his tank than maybe Jonah does. So I'm leaning towards that. I don't expect Richard Sanchez to make a miraculous recovery and be able to be ready for Saturday. Right. Again, look, it's Birdie Tuesday. Come Thursday, things could be a lot different, but right, we'll see what the case is. But still, do you risk putting a Richard Sanchez that has not been game day ready for about 3 weeks?
I think if he's ready, you play him 15 minutes just to kind of get him going. If he's ready, though, but obviously if he's nowhere near, like, to be game fit, just don't risk him, and you'll find minutes for him in the upcoming games for sure.
Yeah, I think Rich is the perfect example. Like I was mentioned too, you know, obviously some, I think you start and give him that first half, but the other half, you know, you find those 30 minutes, you find those 25 minutes. I think Rich is a good example, like Christian said, just to, even if he's not going to be fit, you know, to start, you know, I think throwing him in there for maybe even 20 minutes, it's something that should suffice, because that way he gets that playing time a little bit, and then thus, you know, getting him a little bit closer, obviously, for the rest of the season, but also a chance to be a part of that next game too.
Yeah, I think that's a smart plan, and hopefully Karine adapts something of what we just talked about, right? And not to say that we know it all, but it seems common sense enough to be making these type of decisions, and we'll see. Right, they're the ones who see the players week in and week out, and they'll have better indications as to who's a little bit more gas and who needs a little bit more of a rest and whatnot. So should be interesting. So Chris has given us his predicting starting 11, and Christian, I want you to give yours as well. So he's going with Malagón, Isra, Ramón, Igor, and Fuentes, Naveda, Fidalgo, Brian on the right, Javairo on the 10, and Cabecita on the left, and Mozumbito. You know what? I didn't want to finish that. It was a terrible lineup. I don't like it. Christian, give me yours.
I don't like Bryant on the right. I think he shows his best on the left. Which is I think that if we were gonna decide either Cabecita or Bryant, it would probably be on that side. But no, I'll go with Malagón in net. I'll do Israel Reyes at right back, Sebastián Cáceres and Igor Lichnowsky as your center backs. As your left back, I'll put Chava Reyes one more time. Fidalgo and Aveda in the midfield, Diego Valdez at the 10 on the right side. I want to say Javairo only because I think Sendejas will start in the next three games. So I think maybe they want to give him a little of a breather. So I'll put Javairo on the right, Cabecita on the left, and then Henry Martin up top.
All right. Interesting. Who did you put on the left back spot?
Chava Reyes.
Okay, good. Because I think he merits a start again. Like, you know,
it's either Chava Reyes or Chicote, but I think, like you said, I think he's just been doing it pretty good in the past couple of games. So why not just give him the start?
And I don't think he's burnt out or gassed out or anything.
Exactly.
I think he could definitely go again another 90 minutes in at Atlas and maybe even still potentially play against Chivas. But I do think that's going to be Chicote to play on Wednesday. But I like it. Dylan, would you make any changes?
No, I think even too, including like Naveda. I mean, if this game isn't that high of importance, then I think you give a player like that a chance, you know, to shine and get some minutes in too.
Absolutely. I'm super excited to see Javairo play again. I think we saw brilliant sparks and moments against Mazatlan. Maybe not so much against Pachuca. But I think, you know, the weeks have progressed. He's gotten a little bit more accustomed. And so now let's see what he's capable to do at Atlas.
Agent 007, right?
Agent 007, which I don't know where they got that from. It's hilarious. Like, how has he hasn't even played three games, and they're saying that he's already played seven games, zero goals, and zero assists. Oh, my goodness.
And barely any minutes at all. So I'm just like, I don't
exactly.
The dude doesn't even have 90 minutes, I think.
I don't think so.
All of them put together, absolutely no 90 minutes for him. But yeah, I'd love to see what he's capable of doing. I think he's just, I mean, no one's gonna dispute the talent. It's there, like Chris has mentioned. So it's gonna be fun. And I think it's interesting if you start Cabecita out on the left. I mean, you can eventually transition him as a forward in second half. Bring in Bryant.
Right. Bring in Bryant. That's exactly my thought process as well.
Yeah. So I just want to keep Elian away from the field as much as possible. But let's talk about a player that obviously we all expect to rest, but I would feel like he'd be itching to get on the pitch just because of what this game could potentially mean. And that is Julián Quiñones. Yes, poor Oscar. Imagine all of these games and all these rotations and he still can't get a minute. So, well, he'll have the Clásico Joven at Dignity Health Sports Park. So he's got that to look forward to. But Julián Quiñones, obviously, when we were talking about this last season, Dylan, we mentioned how this was kind of going to be his homecoming back to the Estadio Jalisco, back to the fan base that saw him win the double and do all these things, make his name that much more bigger than it already was. So this, I feel like, would be a very special game. And I don't know if you're hiding there. Do you give Quiñones those minutes? If the game doesn't present itself to need him, do you still kind of give him the opportunity to be like, all right, go for it? Or both of you are shaking your head. Explain to me.
No. Because, I mean, one, the guy needs the rest. He literally just came off, you know, injured. And two, if this game isn't that high of an importance, then I wouldn't want to risk him with what he's coming off with. And then plus, you know, again, at least us here in this sense right now that we're talking, we're not really prioritizing that game this high. So, I mean, I just don't see the need for Quiñones, especially whenever we got, you know, the big stretch of games coming and, you know, a game that I think we're all looking forward to at the midweek too.
Okay. Christian, you just agree with that?
Yeah, of course. Look at the bigger picture, right? We have a big four games coming up. And I think that we need Quiñones, right? We need Quiñones at his very best. Dylan mentioned that he was injured. He needs a break. The man does not get a rest. Just give him the game. Give him the game to kind of reset, and hopefully he'll stop missing everything in front of that.
I've been hoping and wishing on that for like a whole season already, and it's not been the case. But I guess he scored the most important one when it counted, right, against Tigres in the finals.
He did.
We'll give him that. Oh man, I had the perfect tweet. For Quiñones whenever he scored the second goal, and I thought, okay, he might potentially like score a hat trick. Cause you guys seen that meme or that video of some guy was like, te voy a dar un 10, imbécil. Un 10. You seen that? Yeah. I was gonna be like, that's me to Quiñones tonight. So I'm still waiting on that. I still have that saved in the archive. So hopefully, maybe against Chivas, I'll be able to use it and tweet it out. But yeah, no, I agree. I think this is a game where, unfortunately, I know it could mean a lot for Quiñones, but like you mentioned, Christian, the bigger picture is what's important. And it's not to discredit anything against Atlas. I don't think we're kind of saying they're a small team or whatever, but it's just got to get priorities straight, right? And to walk away with the result being maybe just a draw, I think we'd all take that. As long as we don't lose, and maybe even losing, just depending on how things go, we maybe won't be all up in arms. We will be frustrated and upset, but like I mentioned, momentum is important, Dylan, right? And then if you can get a victory here and kind of capitalize that and use that for Wednesday's game, I think that's even much more vital.
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know, it's just, especially if you're able to build off, you know, that first half of the last game, I'll say at least the first half. You know, I think a lot of people obviously don't necessarily agree with the extra 20 minutes you're probably giving Ivan, which I do. But I say at least the first half, if you can build off that first half, you know, I think that's the true identity of this team. I think that's the team that can go out and actually do the damage that it really caused, you know, besides the offside goals. I mean, it was right there. It was right there. They had the foot on the pedal. And I just don't understand. I can't see why this team can't build off it even more.
Right.
Absolutely. And Christian, you mentioned the most frustrating thing about this team or these players has been the lack of these bench players stepping up to the moment and kind of raising their hands to try to be started, right? And look, another opportunity presents itself to your Cabecitas, your Navedas, your Reyeses of the team, where maybe they haven't actually capitalized or looked their best or look like they're Club America worthy. But now you get an opportunity to kind of, you know, stabilize the team in the league and then hand it off to the starters come Wednesday and be like, look, you know, I got the job done and now it's up to you to kind of carry on.
And I think that is one of the main keys of becoming a successful team in two tournaments, right? Relying on the players that don't play as much to kind of get the job done, whether it be ugly or fantastic, but the objective is to get the job done, get the 3 points, and give the starters the rest that they need and that they deserve, right? So hopefully, whatever happens, whatever lineup comes out on Saturday, whatever rotational player is in that starting 11. We just got to hope that they do it to the best of their ability and kind of help us get those points.
All I ask is that there is, when I'm making the starting 11 graphic, there's no 248 number that I have to put on the starting 11 graphic. That's all I ask for. But yeah, interesting enough I want to hear you guys' perspective here. What is a result for you guys on Saturday? What does America walk away with on Saturday? And you guys think, yeah, this is good. I'll take it.
2-0.
2-0 for America. That's the result you want. Okay.
I need it.
All right. I like it. Okay. 2-0. Dylan?
I think it's going to be a little bit of a scrappy 2-1.
All right. A scrappy 2-1. I am surprised that I'm hearing the both of you predict a win here when it sounded like we were kind of all settling for a potential draw here. But I like it. I like it. Look, I'm going to piggyback off the both of you.
Well. Been playing well. They put up a good fight against Tigres, but I think Tigres should have won that. I think that's just due to their own downfalls and faults. They didn't win that game, but they lost against León. They tied Pumas and they lost to Mazatlán.
Mazatlán is on impeccable form, though. Let's be honest.
I think that if we kind of just go out and kind of propose the way we did in the first 45, even with these rotational players, I don't think that they should give us that much trouble. I think that we should comfortably go up on the score and then kind of control the game from there. Hopefully we get a lucky break here or there, maybe score another one. That's kind of the way I see it, honestly. Very back and forth, but I think that we'll control most of the game and kind of get a little bit of a break here and there.
Okay. All righty. Well, like I said, I'm going to piggyback off of your guys' optimism, and I'm kind of going with something trending for America, and that's a clean sheet. And that's not something that I've been so used to with America, but it has been a norm with Malagón in net and with this defense. Not to say that this defense is going to be squeaky clean, but I think that we're capable of walking away with at least a 1-0 victory, right? Like you mentioned, feeling a little scrappy, maybe a little bit ugly, maybe a little bit boring at points, right? AJ might have a difficult time staying awake again. But I do think that it's going to be one of those games in where don't expect the prettiest of football from America. Don't expect this to be kind of prime champagne America. Expect that for Wednesday game against Chivas, and then hope that the rotation and the sub players can come in and put in a shift and walk away with 3 points, as we're all predicting here, which is huge. And not the only ones, though. Chris going 2-0. Edgar going 3-1. I don't know where he's getting 3 goals from, though. That's spectacular. Yeah. AP Jr., the only one being sensible here and saying the way we've been playing, 1-1 draw.
Absolutely. I mean, I'll take the draw. I mean, don't get me wrong. But I just think with this way this team has been, you know, a little scrappy. Crap, what was the game we just did? We just won 2, we not won, but drew 2-2. But Henry
against Mazatlan?
Yeah, Mazatlan. I mean, that was scrappy. I'm sure it felt like a loss a little bit with the way it played, but we scrapped out the draw. I mean, you know, I don't see why this team can't scrap out a win.
Yeah, no. I completely agree. I'm never going to back down and say that.
I'm mainly banking off of our stellar defensive performances this year, along with Malagón, and the fact that Atlas has scored 1 goal in the past 3 games.
I mean, yeah, that helps a lot too, those statistics, right? You know, it puts a little bit.
I think Dylan puts it perfectly. It's going to be a very scrappy game, and I think that's how we're going to win in the most scrappiest of ways. I just don't think this Atlas team has enough to do that much danger to you to potentially lose the game. They may cause you a little bit of headaches here and there for a draw, but I think ultimately this team is just too good. And I think that if we have the chance to take the win, I think we're going to go for it and we'll ultimately end up getting it.
All right. Well, we'll see who's right at the end of the day. America goes up against Atlas on Saturday. That's going to be at 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 Central, 10 Eastern. Game's going to be live on TUDN, so make sure you guys keep up to date with us over on Twitter, as we'll keep you guys up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas del América and throughout that game as well. Well, that pretty much does it, unless you guys have anything else to add on in regards to that Atlas game. No? Okay. All right. Well, obviously, it's Atlas and then kind of the catalyst of it all comes together with Chivas away, then Tigres at home, Chivas at home, then Chivas away. And then, you know, it's just, I don't even know what comes after that. Oh, the international break, which then we play against Cruz Azul. So it's a lot of games, a lot of clásicos, and a lot of head scratching moments, I would imagine, for this team. But look, you know, this is kind of what we painted.
Yeah, but we're about to end the season too.
Exactly.
This is coming to an end.
Yeah, it's coming thick and fast. So yeah, America needs to kind of buckle up and kind of go through this and look. Once you get past that hurdle, which is this next round in the CONCACAF Champions Cup, you know, then I think you can ease off a little bit, knowing that okay, now we just kind of then put it into overdrive and kind of build off of that, right? The international break will do us good. Get some of the youngsters out there, rest some of the players. I would hope that the players that do go on international break don't necessarily play all 90 minutes. Maybe they get some rest as well. And so we'll see exactly what happens. But yeah, it's coming to the nitty gritty of it all. And so again, America doesn't have that much of a luxury anymore to kind of give up points or you know, be on a decline. You gotta start finding form, and you gotta start finding form fast. And if this Cruz Azul game was the beginning of it, then so be it. And now you kind of progress, and so We'll see. But we'll be back next week to talk America versus Chivas. We'll be joined by Brian. He's making a comeback and helping us preview that game, which should be an interesting one, should be a fun one, and should be, you know, nail biter. We haven't had a CONCACAF Champions Cup nail biter in such a long time. I think we're all looking forward to this one.
It's always fun playing the media brothers.
Yeah, I agree in that sense. I 100% agree. Well, yeah.
We're podcasting on my election night, right? The primary in Texas.
That's right. That's right. Dylan's going to be coming at us live from his election night as well. So it's going to be a day full of surprises, full of content, and full of great, great conversations. So it's going to be great. Can't wait. Can't wait, gentlemen.
Exciting.
Absolutely. But all right, with that said, if that's it, then Midwest Sosholo saying he's going to take a scrappy 1-0 win as well. And well, all righty then. Well, we'll get out of you guys' hairs. Thank you guys so much for everyone that came into the chat. AP Jr., Edgar, Chris, Ricardo, Chris Ramirez, Midwest Sosholo, I think I mentioned him already. So thank you guys so much for stopping by, talking all things Club America. And thank you, Christian, and thank you, Dylan, for taking the time. All right. Always fun talking America. Well, then, with that said, you guys have a wonderful time. Take care. And as always, Arriba America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.